Hey, how's everybody doing? Hoping you're having a fantastic day. So, we've had a fun week here at Scholastic Answers. On Sunday, I did a debate with David Erhan. David and I think we both did a pretty good job. I think that it was respectful all around, and I think that it's probably the best filioque debate on the internet. If I had to, I know maybe that sounds like tooting my own horn, but I just thought it was pretty good. And it seems like from the brief conversation I had with David afterwards, he thought the same thing. So, we both thought it went well. But there are some Orthodox who did not think it went well, and I'm assuming they didn't think it went well because I did good. That's what I'm assuming. That's what I've heard. So there have been some pretty nasty attacks. So one has come from Jay Dyer, which I already responded to. Jay thinks screenshotting a footnote in a text is somehow, that's somehow scholarship and that's somehow an argument, but it just isn't. Truglia, he's the second one. He kind of did the same thing. He did a longer video, although it was like 10 minutes of reading off of a Father Capps article and then 20 minutes of talking about how he doesn't like me. So, wasn't that good of a video. But I think there was a few good things to address there, because what I've seen in the responses is most people have not at all been dealing with the actual arguments that I put forward. Some people are upset about the comments I made about Palamas near the end, which, that's very tangentially related to the filioque. That's not really related at all. Some people are upset about some of my reading of the 9th-century history with the popes and the Franks in the East, which, again, it's more or less tangentially related. And that has more to do with the canonical question than anything, because all of those popes, as is admitted by my opponents, all of them dogmatically taught the filioque. And then the third freak out is about Contrinomian 3:1, which I've already addressed. So really, the amount of argument responding to from Truglia and Dyer has been this much. That's how much. But I think it's kind of useful to push back on some of Father Capp's claims, push back on some of what Truglia said, which I thought some of it was a bit humorous. I was actually making breakfast this morning. It was a very good breakfast. It was a breakfast sandwich that I made. I made one for my wife, made one for me. So I got 2 pieces of bread, toasted them, got some bacon, put that on there. We had some avocado left, so I took that and I put that on the bread. I poached 2 eggs, just a pretty basic salt and pepper type seasoning, and that was it. And it was a very, very good sandwich. Oh yeah, and I got some, put some cheddar cheese on it as well. But it was a very good sandwich. But I was making that sandwich, and while I was eating that sandwich, I was listening to Truglia, and it was a very entertaining thing to have with my breakfast. It's like a meal and a show, So now back to Truglia. I will try to keep this pretty, pretty level, pretty even. He mentioned some like weird sort of personal distastes and things like that. I will only mention just in passing, and very briefly, that about 2 years ago, Trugly and I was on a debate that he was having with the other Paul. I moderated the debate, and he offered to kind of do stuff together afterwards, do work together, whatever. And I didn't really know about much about Trugly at the time, and I was like, okay, that sounds fun. That's where I'm assuming the weird sort of Newman scholar quote comes from. I have no idea what he actually means by that. He's yet to explain. And then I found out about some very concerning moral failures when it comes to Truglia, which I obviously won't go into detail here. If you know, you know. It's all public and stuff, but I just don't want to point people to it because it's very concerning. But anyways, I told him like, hey, look, no hard feelings. I just don't want to get involved with this. And then ever since then, he's kind of been on my bad side. But yeah, I won't go into detail about any of that. If you know, you know. If you don't know, don't worry about it. So now getting into the actual arguments and such. So after your personal issues, the first sort of claim that Trulia made, which is a very interesting claim, was that I'm a quote miner. And his proof of this, I'm not joking. If you think I'm making this up, you can just watch the video yourself. His proof of the fact that I'm a quote miner is because I gave my references from the Migne set. This is actually something, admittedly, that I wasn't going to do at first. But Diwong, he exhorted me to go through Migne and look for Migne. I know French words. Migne, he exhorted me to go through and look for all of the quotes there and to give the references to make it a little bit more professional, a little bit more polished, and sort of understanding how some of my Eastern Orthodox opponents are, some of the responses to my first debate with Ubi and to some of my subsequent videos, to keep from the accusation of forgery. I made sure I put all of the PG references in there. And Truglia says that was a proof that I'm quote mining. And he says that even scholars don't go through the Migne set. So obviously I didn't. Well, I have some fun stuff for you guys. So I'm going to share my screen right here to my search history. And I searched Patrilogia. So this is today's October 11th. So this is yesterday. I was doing a lot of reading in there yesterday for some research I've been doing. Here is from October 9th, doing a lot of reading. October 7th, doing a lot of reading. September 25th, September 20th, September 18th, September 12th, September 7th. September 6th, September 1st, and then some into August and July. But yeah, I use Migne a lot. I always reference to him. I always look through him because he has some very interesting notes on some of the Catholic interpretive history. Like I was just yesterday looking through some stuff with Augustine and some of his against Maximilian. I guess that would be how you would anglicize it. How would you anglicize that? Okay. Anyways, I was looking through some of that because Peter Lombard, he has a very interesting quote from St. Augustine on the question of the necessity of begetting. And with the notes that were given, there was some notes about textual history, about some of Patavius's interpretation of the text. There's just interesting notes, so it helps me with my research. So I actually do look through Migne. That, and it helps me. My Greek is, it's not bad. I mean, I can read short passages and know enough to exegete and to explain and stuff because I took a few years of seminary Greek. But my Latin is a lot better. And if you know anything about Migne actually translates all of the Greek fathers into Latin. So if there isn't an English version, it's much easier for me to go through and read Latin than it is for me to go through and have to read Greek. So that's why I always rely on him. So Truglia, first, I'm not a quote miner. I actually, you know, use Migne very frequently, as you can see from my history. So there's that for the first one, Truglia. And I actually just thought it was very interesting that he thinks careful scholarship means quote mining. And then also, it's I think anybody who actually, this is something that David at least implicitly complimented me on, is he thought that I very clearly was aware of the scope of the text that I was quoting and such. And that we afterwards talked a little bit about how much we both hate quote mining. I think it was afterwards. I don't think it was at the end of the debate. Maybe it was at the end of the debate. But yeah, this just isn't true. And it's very clear from referencing other parts of the text and the immediate context and a little bit more remote context, its placement in the book. It's just I read the texts. That's what's obvious from this. But, you know, it's quote mining, forgeries. Those are really the two. Okay, so after this, I am not a quote miner at first. So second, St. Basil's text. So what is going on here. He says that the Latin reading is subordinationist because it says that the spirit is third in dignity. That's all of this stuff just gets more and more ironic. So I pulled up the CUA. Pulled up the CUA press version of this, of Contrinomium 3.1. This is the one with the, what I argue at least is a false reading. But anyways, let's see what is in the received version from the version that the Eastern Orthodox would want to argue for. Okay, so I'm going to show you what's so funny about this, especially him saying this right after calling me a quote miner. Okay, so after nearly gorging himself with blasphemies against the only begotten, Eunomius shifts to the Holy Spirit, making claims about him as well that are consistent with his whole intention. Here's what he writes, and then he quotes him. Since we learn from the saints that he is third in dignity and in rank, we have come to believe that he is third in nature as well. This is what is debated right here. Well, this is what is debated between Eunomius and Basil, not between East and West. So this statement adequately shows that Eunomius does not think that he must abide by the simple and uncontrived faith of the multitude, but believes instead that he should redirect the truth through scheming and sophistical arguments to that which seems good to him. By dishonoring the opinion by which the multitude glorifies the Holy Spirit, he makes a pretense of guarding the teaching of the saints. Yet even now he keeps silent about who transmits this teaching to him, just as he did in the arguments about the only begotten, as we have shown. So what is this argument? So since what Eunomius argues right here is, since we learn from the saints that the Holy Spirit is third in dignity and rank, so we have this teaching of the saints of the thirdness of the Spirit. From this, he draws the false conclusion that the Spirit must be third in nature as well, which is obviously something which is false. It's a false conclusion. But what the Orthodox are going to argue is that actually the premise from which he draws the conclusion is something which is subordinationist. So does Basil think this? Let's find out. Eunomius says next that while he has learned on the authority of the saints that the Holy Spirit is third both in rank and in dignity, he has come to believe on his own authority. So notice what's being critiqued here. On his own authority, that the Holy Spirit is third in nature as well. Who are the saints that have taught this? In what treatises have they expressed it? Has there ever been someone so audacious as to introduce innovations about the divine doctrines? If the Spirit is third in dignity and in rank, is there some necessity that he be third in nature as well? Notice what he's critiquing again. And then this right here is part of the Greek forgery right here. Our edition has the word of piety transmits that he is second to the Son in dignity. But this is what the Orthodox, the version that the Orthodox would like to be authentic, but I'm going to pretend for a second that this is authentic. So he says, perhaps the word of piety transmits that he is second to the Son in dignity. So real quick, let's stop right here before we keep going. So according to Truglia, according to Father Caps as well, the claim that the Spirit is second to the Son in dignity is subordinationist. Okay. Basil is saying perhaps this is true. So you're telling me Basil is right here saying perhaps heresy is true. Perhaps subordinationism is true. What? And look at what he actually critiques. But we have not learned from the Holy Scriptures that a third nature is necessary, nor do the preceding claims that make it possible infer such a conclusion. And then this is where it just gets absolutely fantastic, because it's clear that Truglia has not read the next paragraph. This is terrible. The Son is second to the Father in rank because he is from the Father. He is second to the Father in dignity. No, this is the version you accept right here. He is second to the Father in dignity because the Father is the principle and cause by virtue of which he is the Son's Father, and because we approach and access the God and Father through the Son. Okay. Right here. Admits the Son is second to the Father in dignity. Why? Why would anybody be second in dignity? Because the Father is the principle and cause. Okay, so he admits that the Spirit is second to the Son in dignity. Do you want to draw that conclusion for me, everybody? So even let's say the Orthodox reading of this is correct. This still teaches the filioque, by the way. Even so, the Son is not second in nature, since there is one divinity in both of them. And then it gets even more fantastic. Likewise, it is clear that even if the Holy Spirit is below the Son in both rank and dignity, something with which we too are in total agreement. Huh? What do you say, Truclia? This is subordinationist. Read the next paragraph. Read the next paragraph. It's terrible. It's horrible. How do these guys get away with saying stuff like this? And people just parrot it over and over again. The Tana Montenegro and the Latins of Florence, they were subordinationists. Really? Really? And now this gets even more fun, because then they accuse me of not knowing my Thomas. Okay? So let's see right here, Contra Rerum Corporum, where St. Thomas is going to treat this. I didn't roll my R. I should have. It says, in the aforementioned authorities, passages are found where the Son is said to be second in order from the Father, and the Holy Spirit third in order from the Father. From the discourse similar to Serapion, blah, 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 Basil says, in dignity and order, the Spirit is second to the Son. These statements may strike a person as false. For as Augustine says, the only order existing among the divine persons is an order not of priority, whereby one comes before another, but of origin, whereby one is from another. This is getting very interesting. So Thomas is saying that the order is one of origin? One of origin that's going on? Isn't this exactly what Basil says in the next paragraph? For there is no mode of priority in virtue of which the Father could be said to be prior to the Son. For the Father is not prior in time, since the Son is eternal, obviously. And this is actually what Katathontes Atheist Logon is referring to. Nor prior in nature, since the one nature belongs to the Father and Son. Nor prior in dignity, since the Father and the Son are equal. Oh, wait, he's saying nor prior in dignity. This is getting interesting. Let's put a pin in that for now. Well, nor even prior in understanding, since they are distinguished only by relations, and relative entities are understood simultaneously, since each perhaps the understanding of the other. And so it is clear, properly speaking, the Son cannot be said to be second in order from the Father, and the Holy Spirit third in order from the Son. The aforementioned doctors, therefore, call the Spirit second and the Holy Spirit third according to their numerical order, which is, as he said above, an order of origin. This is clear from Basil himself, who says, we have received the Holy Spirit from the Father and Son as third numbered and conglorified, the Spirit of the same Son of God, who, when instituting the order of salvific baptism, said, and then goes forth. Then he covers specifically what dignity means. But when Basil asserts that the Spirit is second from the Son in dignity, he appears more seriously mistaken, because he seems to posit degrees of divinity in the Trinity, whereas all three persons are equal in dignity. This statement, however, can be explained as referring not to natural, but to personal dignity in God. Notice, and what is this personal dignity? This personal dignity is the dignity of order, which was set up here, the dignity of origin. This statement, however, can be explained as referring not to natural, but to personal dignity in God, just as we said that a person is a hypostasis in virtue of a distinct property entailing dignity. Hilary adopts this manner of speaking when he says that the Father is greater than the Son by reason of authority of origin. And notice, that the Father is greater than the Son by reason of authority of origin, that's exactly what Basil says in the next paragraph. So St. Thomas is just, because St. Thomas actually didn't have the full quote with the next paragraph before his face, to my knowledge. That wasn't something which was translated into Latin. He's merely interpreting a book written by another guy, but that's a story for a different time. So St. Thomas is actually such an insanely close and good interpreter of patristic statements that he actually interprets it in line with its context without even having the context. That's how amazing St. Thomas is. So that the Father is greater than the Son by reason of authority of origin, but by reason of oneness of substance, the Son is not thereby less than the Father. And you know what? What's really fun, and I actually just did like a very, very, very short search for this. So this is not even, I could probably find a million texts to say this. St. Thomas actually interprets himself. Notice, very fun. St. Thomas interprets himself in other places where he says the same exact thing about dignity. Therefore, one should respond in a different way by saying that giving and receiving can be compared in two ways, either as regards what is given or as regards the account of giving. Is the ratio of giving. If it is compared to the first way, then the giver is sometimes found to be greater than the one to whom he gives, when the receiver receives not as much as there is in the giver, but sometimes they're equal, when just as much is received, as also occurs in univocal generation. But the giver giver can never be less. However, if they are considered in the second way, then the giver, from the fact that he gives, has a certain dignity, but the receiver has no imperfection from the fact that he receives, unless he receives in an imperfect way. And therefore, if we compare the Father and the Son as regards what is given, so the nature, by the Father to the Son, neither is the Father called greater, nor is the Son lesser. But if we compare them as regards the ratio of giving, then the dignity of giving is not withheld from the Father, by reason of which he is called greater, such that greater rings of the perfection of dignity, more of a comparison of the magnitude or greatness. But because the Son receives perfectly whatever the Father has, no diminishment would belong to him, and therefore also no name or diminishment can belong to the Son. And although the saints attribute authority to the Father, nonetheless, no lesser authority is attributed to the Son, and so on. So, what is this dignity, according to St. Thomas? This is the dignity of Origen, which is exactly what St. Basil says, which is not subordinationist, which is also, fun enough, you know what else I found? Let's find out. I found, translating to English for all of you fellows, the discussion between Mark of Ephesus and John of Montenegro. You tell me whether John of Montenegro is interpreting this as a subordinationist or whether he's interpreting this just as I gave you. Mark, a moment. Do you say that Basil is held that the Spirit was third in order and dignity? Yeah, of course, that's what the text says, Mark. Yes, in the same way as the Son is second to the Father. Mark, Eunomius also said that the Spirit was third in order and dignity. John, Eunomius said that he got that from the Holy Scriptures, and from that would prove that the Spirit was third in nature also. Basil did not deny his statement. He only attacked his conclusion. So he did not deny the statement of order and dignity, only the conclusion of nature. Mark, so Eunomius was right in saying third in order and dignity? John, yes. Mark, but does not your book say Eunomius pretends to preserve the teaching of the saints? John, yes. Eunomius pretends to have found the deduction third in nature in the fathers. Mark, no, it does not say that. It says pretends to preserve the teaching of the fathers as saying third in order and dignity. John, no, the pretense refers to the deduction, and that is what Basil denied, as his examples show. And then Mark says, if Basil had held that the Spirit was third in order and dignity, he would not have said that Eunomius pretended to preserve the teaching of the fathers, but that he did preserve it and concluded wrongly. This is terrible. Instead, he asserts that Eunomius had no word to say as he who has transmitted the doctrine, and he calls him a greatly daring innovator. Maybe Mark of Ephesus should just read the next paragraph, which shows that Basil did not believe there were any such saints. John, Athanasius asks, if then he, that is the Holy Spirit, is not from the substance of the Father and the Son, why did the Son name him in the Trinitarian formula of baptism? Elsewhere he wrote, if then the Spirit had such an order and nature in respect to the Son, as Son is to the Father, surely he who calls the Spirit a creature will think the same as the Son. Athanasius therefore declares an order and an order of nature. Basil could do no less. In the next session, we will prove it clearly of Basil too. Okay, so you know what? John of Montenegro, not a subordinationist. He just interprets it in context with the next paragraph. He just interprets it correctly. I mean, just read the text, even in the Orthodox version. Just read it. Okay, yeah, some say Montenegro, some say Montenegro. I say Montenegro because that's what Gill says. Okay, so now we have another fun instance. They say they went from saying that Contrinomian 3.1 is a forgery to saying that Contrinomian 3.1 is a disputed text. So I would like to thank the Orthodox for becoming a little bit more ecumenical with me. And then, of course, the easy response is, guys, you base nearly your entire argument on, I mean, Shishensky did, on the letter to Marinus from St. Maximus the Confessor. And then Truglia hand waves it and says, oh, there's no modern scholars who say this, but all modern scholars say that Contrinomian 3.1 is fake. I have some great news for you guys. This is like after 10, like maybe 20, 25 minutes of research. So I'm actually pretty happy about this. Okay. Let's see. This is from an article. Let me see. The Authenticity of Maximus the Confessor's Letter to Marinus. This is actually from Shishensky. Very fun. However, begged the question that had been prevented earlier generations from embracing the text. Was the letter to Marinus an authentic work of Maximus or a product of later author hoping to introduce a patristic witness to the orthodoxy of the Latin teaching on the procession? Even today, there are scholars, Catholic and Orthodox, who doubt the text's authenticity, calling into question its ability to bring East and West together on the age-old problem of the filioque. And then right here, a bunch of arguments, a bunch of different articles, 1993, 1992. Let's see. He just quotes a bunch in here, 1996, so on and so forth. So yeah, he's Shishensky notes in a journal article he wrote in 2007. He notes there are plenty of scholars today actually who deny the authenticity of the text. I mean, personally, I don't deny the authenticity of the text. Actually, really, I don't care too much about whether it's authentic or not, because I don't think it provides what the Orthodox think it provides. But yeah, I would not in the debate go over an argument about its authenticity, because I can read it in line with the context of the passage, with the language used, with the other writings of the author. I can read it in context with all that. It's just when it comes to St. Gregory of Nyssa's Katathontes Athias Logon with St. Basil's cause text that is disputed and others, the Orthodox can't read these in line with their theology. So they have to either interpret in a very weird way, which I would challenge Craig Truglia right now, interpret because he says he doesn't want to do anything with me. That's whatever. You don't have to. You could just write a little tweet for all I care. Will somebody please interpret Contri Nomus 142 by St. Gregory of Nyssa, interpret Katathontes Athias Logon in accordance with the previous paragraph, that paragraph, and then Basil's Contri Nomian 124, and then also 120, interpret those as not meaning that the Son is a cause of the Spirit, according to St. Gregory of Nyssa, because nobody debates the authenticity of that text. So please, I'm waiting. I will probably be waiting until the day I die for this to be interpreted. But yes, what's also more fun, and this is a bit of a sneak peek for you guys, because I will be doing something a lot more on this in the future. Actually, one of the texts, which is, I guess, kind of a parallel case to Contri Nomium, is actually Oration 34. Oration 34, let's pull it up, by St. Gregory the Theologian. Oration 34. The Orthodox have unwittingly been using what is a hotly disputed text, and to which the scholarship is actually modern scholarship is very much against the Orthodox on this one, on Oration 34, number 10. I'll be doing a big old video on this in the future. But right here, this is one of the texts that the Orthodox are always going to bring up. But if all that the Father has belongs likewise to the Son, except causality, and all that the Son belongs to the Spirit, except the sonship, and so on and so forth. So the Orthodox will say, well, except causality, therefore they're wrong. But I have a lot of extrinsic reasons why I don't buy this reading. But the manuscript tradition, very interestingly, is actually against the Orthodox on this one. And you can, I first ran across this in a footnote in the Mignet set. I was like, huh. And I found a critical edition, the French critical edition, and I checked it out. And apparently modern scholars don't think that this should be accept the causality. It shouldn't be aetios. Rather, this is accept unbegottenness, which has parallels in the works of St. Gregory, has parallels in St. Cyril, has parallels in a lot of authors. And just the exclusivity of the term just doesn't fit in this time. But I'll be doing a lot more in this in the future. But yeah, scholarship is against the Orthodox on this one. I'm just really waiting until the critical edition of, because there's a critical edition in production of St. Gregory's works, and they haven't gotten to Oration 34 yet, which was a big frowny face for me. But I'm pretty sure once they produce it, it's going to just support what I say here, because the latest critical edition of this that was done supports Catholic reading. But we'll be getting into all that fun stuff in a different video. This is just kind of, I guess, a sneak peek for you. But yeah, if you shouldn't use disputed texts, stop using Letter to Marinus. Stop using Oration 34:10. But of course you won't. This isn't about disputed texts. This is about not responding to substantial arguments. That's what this is all about. Okay, so, and then lastly, as a note, really, when it comes to Craig Struglia, he comes from a sort of generation. Same with the things that I was a while ago fighting with Perry Robinson about. Because Perry Robinson, he's an Eastern Orthodox apologist who does work on Palamism and stuff. Very clearly, when you read his articles from 10 years ago, he's saying the opposite about Palamism and Thomism as he is saying now. And I showed this, and he's like, well, scholarship was different back then. What does this show? This shows these guys don't read primary sources. They read a panoply of journal articles and whatever. And then without any sort of independent research or reading of their own, they push forward theses that they haven't even read about in primary sources. They're trusting scholars. And then they're inconsistent when the scholars come against certain conclusions in Orthodox theology. But I don't care about really scholarly consensus. I don't really care about that. I care about the arguments that those scholars put forward, some of them good, some of them bad. But Craig comes from a generation where he's not concerned with reading these primary sources. So it's extremely inconsistent. And to be honest, if you watch his video, it's a bit dishonest. But I hope everyone here enjoyed this. Make sure you like and share it. I saw two super chats, so I'm going to hop on those right now. Oh, River Run says winning. So thank you. Okay, so I need to shower, but since you Eastern Orthodox should realize that being lesser of rank of dignity by cause is not heretical since it's denying rank by power, 1428. Too many on our side are undermining principles of scriptural exegesis. So true, Max. And then, yes, I support this. It seems like instead of taking time processing what you said, he jumped online to do some damage control. That's true. That's true. Okay, so let me see. I don't see any chats, but for those who were, oh, you're welcome, Father Brown. So for those who are wondering, Astro entirely said nothing against Eric's proofs except you're dumb and stupid. Would I be willing to debate Bo Branson? No, I don't like debates. I don't know. After this, I'm kind of just all debated out. Maybe I just don't want to do debates ever again. I don't know. Maybe I'll probably do it if people say they want to debate me. But anyways, what was I saying? Oh, yeah. So on Saturday morning, rather than having our normal Saturday morning stream, since all of this research is so fresh in my mind and in Astro's mind as well, because he's been helping me prepare, Astro and I are going to be doing a whole Saturday morning stream just on whatever you guys want to ask questions about, dispute about, when it comes to the Filioque. So yeah, we will be doing all of that. So you guys can bring 100 questions. Astro and I will answer every single question. I'm planning on starting at 9 a.m. and I have to go by like noon. So if I could answer questions for 3 hours if you guys want. I don't care. I will answer question after question after question. So that is going to be really fun. So make sure you guys come out for that. Come with all of your questions ready, prepare ahead of time and everything like that. And we will be here to answer whatever you guys need. I'm sure I'll be making a bajillion clips from that stream, because that'll be a good place to, you know, get the stuff from. But and also, if you want to like put forward questions ahead of time or something, I guess you could like tag Astro and I in tweets, or if you have Discord, and we're in a similar Discord, I'm in the Papist Hub Discord, or even like emailing them to me, militantthomas@gmail.com. If you guys want to email that, that's fine as well. Yeah, so get some questions ahead, because if we get them ahead of time, that'll be even more helpful, because then I'll have some time to think about it. Okay, so thank you all. I appreciate you guys, and as always, God bless.